Amber and Saffron opened the musical programme with a piano duet of Greensleeves. It mattered little that the Consular Palace's grand piano was in sorry need of tuning. The twins made up in enthusiasm for what they lacked in other areas. This evening, Rebecca was a gay and vivacious hostess, and her father could not help remarking her change of mood. Last week she had been sad and moping, but now she sang Spanish Ladies with Ryder Courtney, then prevailed on him to render a solo of My Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean. This was well received by the company. Saffron, in particular, applauded him rapturously. Then Amber dragged Penrod onto the floor. "You have to sing also. Everybody has to sing or do something." Penrod gave in graciously. "Can you play Heart of Oak?" he asked, and Amber ran to the piano. Penrod's voice startled and thrilled them all. It was easy, lyrical, and true. "Come cheer up, me lads, 'tis to glory we steer, to add something more to this wonderful year." When the song ended, Rebecca tried to blink tears from her eyes as she called gaily, "Refreshments will be served before the next act." She served strong Abyssinian coffee in delicate Limoges porcelain demitasses. There was no milk or sugar. While she was serving Captain Ballantyne, she fumbled and spilt hot coffee on his gleaming boots. Her father watched her from across the room as she blushed bright scarlet and thought her confusion was almost as uncharacteristic as her clumsiness. Suddenly he realized what it meant. The pretty soldier has her deeply entangled in his web. She is all a fluster and a flutter whenever he is within 50 paces. When he disappeared, she almost pined away, and now he is back, she is dizzy with delight. He frowned and thrust his hands into his pockets. She does not realize that in 2 days he will disappear again. I would hate to see her badly hurt. It is my paternal duty to warn her. He thought about that for a moment. And perhaps I shall. After all, the identity of the father of my grandchildren is very much my business. Rebecca recovered herself and clapped her hands for attention. "Ladies and gentlemen, I have a special treat for you this evening. All the way from Madrid, where she has danced before the King and Queen of Spain and other crowned heads of Europe, Senora Esmeralda López Conchita Montes de Tête de Singe, the celebrated flamenco dancer." It was a brief but mystified spattering of applause as from behind the curtains a plump Spanish lady in lace mantilla, clattering bangles and earrings, swept into the room on the arm of Ryder Courtney. In the centre of the floor she sank into a deep curtsy, then rose to her feet with unusual grace for such a portly female. She clicked castanets above her head, and as Rebecca struck up the opening bars of the March of the Toreadors, Signora Tête de Singe launched a drumfire salvo of heel stamps. David let out a snort of laughter. He had been the first to recognise Consul LeBlanc beneath the tall wig and hectic makeup. Then a howl of laughter went up from the entire room and did not subside until LeBlanc sank to the floor in another theatrical curtsy, his makeup running. In the ensuing pandemonium, David crossed to Rebecca and took her arm. "What an inspired entertainment, my darling. LeBlanc was superb. I do so love a good impersonation." Rebecca was in such high spirits that when he led her towards the French windows, she went without protest. "Ah," he said, "my kingdom for a breath of fresh air." He led her along the terrace. "Of course, Ryder Courtney has a fine voice, a man of many talents. He will make some lucky lady a wonderful husband." "Papa, you are always so subtle." She tapped his shoulder with her fan. "I have no idea what you're talking about, but I must say I was surprised by Captain Ballantyne. He also has an extraordinary singing voice." She went still and looked away. "What a pity he is leaving, this time for good, and we shall probably never have the pleasure of listening to him again." "What are you saying, Daddy?" Her voice was small. "Oh, dear me, I should not have let that slip. Gordon is sending him north with dispatches to Cairo. You know these military men. Ships in the night, all of them, I'm afraid. One cannot rely on them." "Daddy, I think we should go in and entertain our guests."